This morning's scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 and 16b through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He loved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Dear Rory, I'm going to stand here and preach, but that doesn't
mean I don't want to show myself to you, but I just want to show them. I just want to see that. Excuse me?
I'm not sure you can see that far.
Oh, really? As we know, the book of, 1 John, it's all about love. Love, 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 guys. Love, guys, love, perfect love, love, love. So whenever you need love, you can simply open the 1 John. And it continues in 2 and 3. And there are some kind of interesting and fun stories. I have heard that before. But technically, that happened to our church last year. Last year, when we had online worship only, we recorded liturgies and scripture readings and some other stuff. And I said, okay, this one is our scripture reading, so please record it. So Tommy Johnson, he recorded it. You remember his very nice, bold voice. And I chose 1 John. I forgot about the chapter and verse, but 1 John, somehow I gave him without one. Not first, it was John. It was supposed to be all about love, 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 but he began like this. You are surely right. You have 5 husbands and divorced them all. That was so much fun. So whenever you need love, it is 1 John. Don't forget about one, okay? So here's one, let me open with a fun story. On a Sunday, a pastor greeted his congregation after service, after worship. And one of the church members came and thanked him. "Pastor, thank you. Thank you for your sermon. Very nice. But you know what? I think you are very smart. You are so smart. Smarter than Einstein." Oh, hey buddy. I know you know this guy, smart guy, one of the brilliant guys of the century. Yes, should be working. This guy. So he was really happy with that. The pastor was really happy with that. But during the week, he thought, what did he mean? What is that about? So the following Sunday, he asked the church member, "Okay, thank you very much. So you talked to me last Sunday. I must have been smart, so smarter than that guy, Einstein. So what do you mean by that? Can you tell me?" Then the guy replied, "Well, Pastor, people say Einstein was so smart, so only 10 people in the whole universe could understand him. But I think you are smarter than him, so nobody can understand you." I hope that is not my story. If that's happening, please, please let me know about that. In the season of Lent, we have been talking about the people around the cross, around Jesus. We have talked about Mary and John, and we have talked about Judas Iscariot. But today, I want to take a pause and talk about something sensitive. Today, I want to talk about fear and God's response to our fear. Besides all kinds of our desire from our heart, fear is indeed one of the factors, critical factors that drives our heart, drives us to make a certain pattern of our lives. I mean, in our thought, deed, and actions, where conflict, argument, fight, and war take place, there must be fear. Sometimes, obviously, sometimes, like beneath the water, fear. And we have heard a lot about news, so many news about the war in Ukraine. And why? Why did it happen? Some people talk about their ongoing history between Ukraine and Russia. And some people talk about the Russian economic and political crisis. So at first, Putin wanted to have their people's eye outside the country, but now he didn't want to show them what's happening outside. And some people talk about Russian fear of the United States and NATO. And they wanted to have some harbors and navy bases to against NATO and the United States, especially in Ukraine territory. I was so disturbed. I think many of us, we are so disturbed by this horrible news. Kids got killed, and Romans, and even armies, thousands of people. I was so disturbed last Sunday, and I heard about gun shooting in the United States. Mass shooting. I think some of you might think about which one? Which one? Because there have been many mass shooting in the country. Arkansas, Chicago, Cincinnati, or Dallas. Those were all happened this year. How can a human being be so cruel that one person decided to harm another precious people? How could they even think of harming others? And what do we feel about that? What do we think about that? Why does it happen? That reminds me of this picture, this mom who lost her son 4 years ago. You remember the picture? Parkland, Florida. She had ashes on her forehead. It was Ash Wednesday, and on that day, she went to church and received ashes to remember her sin and mortality. But I don't think she had ever imagined what would happen that day to a precious son and to a family. Whenever tragedy happens, it stirs up the debate about the safety issue with the gun violence on a deep level around the country, whether we need a strong gun control or more people need to be armed to protect themselves. But before we jump into that discussion on gun violence, gun control, I think what we need to remember is it is the fact, the precious people. People lost their beloved one and their family and community torn down. The fear prevails. That is evil. That is evil. Just like the Gospel of John, the first letter of John uses a couple of metaphoric images to describe who God is and what God is doing and what God wants us to be and do in our lives. For example, God is love. Oh, that is about usually I'm behind with the slide, right? God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. That means if we have God, there is no darkness in us. And it continues. It says, God is love. John's main point in his letter is that God loves us and God is willing to reveal God's self and God's will for us and through us in Jesus. So God sent Jesus, the Son, to be the Savior of the world, and the Son sent by God is the incarnation of the Word of life. Through the incarnation in the flesh of Jesus Christ, God is manifesting God's love for us, and God is speaking to us. How many times are we feeling, are we listening? God is speaking to us and teaching God's will for us. And this God's love, it is not conditional as a reward. Okay, I have done something good, and God's going to give me a reward? No, God is not Santa Claus. We know that. God's love is unconditional, which is initiated by God. And God is sending Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice for us. In our scripture reading today, God's mission to the only Christian community, it is to remind them of their intimate relationship with God and their calling of love, which establishes a form of Christian life by sending the Son of God and the Spirit. This invisible God reveals God's self to you and me to prove God's love for us. So Jesus Christ is the visible God that not only exists, but sometimes makes judgment on us, but also listen to us, to be accompanied with us, love us with the willingness to communicate with us. Otherwise, we were not going to understand what God wants exactly. And what is more is that by that love, God abides in us. And we who love God abides in God. It echoes Apostle Paul's confession that in God we love, we live, move, and have our being. It is the answer to our existential question about who we are. We are not only created by God, but also connected in our corresponding relationship with God. Some people think about, okay, becoming a Christian, it is like becoming a better person. No, we gotta go more than that. It is found in our corresponding relationship with God. It is the unbreakable relationship with God. And God is inviting us through love. In a book, God and the Art of Happiness, Ellen, she says, loving God, being taken into the divine life by that love, and being bound to the community through it, cannot help but be healing. Fear may create evil, violence, harm, but love creates healing, restoration, reconciliation. The people who have been far, they get together. People may have misunderstanding. They get to understand one another. People didn't want to get together. Hate. They finally get together. That is love. It is like, I see you. I see your eyes. I see you are the beloved child of God, just like I am. I see the preciousness in you. I see you. Because of the preciousness in you, I see you. I listen to you. I value your voice, your presence. I believe that is the ultimate hope that God is giving us through love, so that we may be in God. We may live in love and abide in God as God abides in us. With this hope in love, God invites us to participate in God's mission. That is love. Love, love, love. And the scripture provides this hope for the church in its mention of Jesus' second coming. So we are invited to extend our love toward one another as God loves us. And this love is accompanied and accomplished in both religious experience and our moral life. In a way, God's love is perfected in us. Being born of God and abiding in God is not an inward religious status, but it is manifested by loving one another in life and walking just as He walked. So God invites us to live a life transformed by love as a person who is born of God and abiding in God. So here, I want to focus on two vocabularies we find in our scriptures. Fear and hate. Fear and hate. First John in Greek translation, fear, it is phobos. And hate is missile. Those words, can be translated fear and hate. But phobos, the first one, that is translated fear and also terror. Fear and terror. It is not just simply, oh, I'm scared. I feel fear. No, it also has, I feel fear, so I'm going to punch someone out of fear. And that missile, the second one, has a comparative meaning of, it is simply not hate, but loveless, absence of love. It is like making classes among the people saying, this person is better than other. I love this person. I love Steve, so Steve is much better than the whole world. That is missing. I love myself, so I don't care what other people think about me. I don't care what I might harm others. If I can have something, that is missing. That is not hate. That is about less love or absence of love. it excludes the person or group of people out of my circle of love, and it discriminates against the people. Then in a correct translation, it should be like, there is no fear, nor terror, nor harm, but perfect love casts out fear, terror, and harm. And the people who say, I love God, and who love less, their brothers or sisters or neighbors, cannot love God. The subject of this comparative love is not clear, but I think it becomes obvious in our great commandment, love. With these two verses, God asks us to participate in God's mission to love. It represents that when we abide in God, the God of love, none of us will hurt, wound, harm, or terror other people. And there will be no one who will be fearful. There will be no one outside of the circle of our love. There will be no one out of the classes. Two days right after Russia had invaded Ukraine, Patriarch Kirill of Moscow, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, he was like a bishop or archbishop. He spoke to military leaders and published a statement that the invasion was a holy war. It is the holy war. And he encouraged Russian armies, now you are serving the country. Serve with pride, because it was what he called an active manifestation of love for others. I don't know what he's thinking about. How could he even think killing innocent civilian could manifest love? That just reminds me of the time 100 years ago. And that reminds me of Shakespeare's word, even the devil can cite the scripture. He should have stood against the violence, evil, and raised the voice to stop it. On the other hand, I received an email 2 weeks ago. A friend of mine, she sent a prayer request. One of a friend, she is a doctorate student at Boston University. She was going into Ukraine to help the people. She was bilingual. She could speak Russian, Ukrainian, and Polish. And she has a Ukraine heritage, so she went to Ukraine to help the people. She stopped the study. She didn't know much about that, but she has a Ukraine heritage, so she went there to help the people. So my friend asked for the prayer. What a brave woman she was. And there was another story, another young lady whose name was Anastasia. I forgot her. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. But Anastasia, when Russia invaded Ukraine, she worked for a hospital in Kiev and began broadcasting to encourage people while helping the hospital. She chose act and manifest love instead of being overwhelmed by fear and evil, instead of acting and making classes for making love, manifesting love. With an interview, I questioned myself, what can I do? What can I do to manifest love and bring peace in my context with my capability? We have all different contexts. Then during the week, we may think about what can I do? How can I bring love? How can I manifest love? How can I bring peace? When we abide in the love of God, no one will see himself or herself better than others. There will be no one who justifies our selfishness over others, because the perfect love is not partial or conditional. The perfect love doesn't make classes. Perfect love doesn't make self-satisfaction. Then any kind of sword or gun would not be needed. Before all kind of debate, what we need most is love. And God dwells in you, abides in you. We need to see that. We need to focus on